RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
So to the recent Ministry of Health messaging to medical professionals and parents on apparent additional safeguards for puberty blockers, joining me now to talk about this and other things is Suzanne Levy, spokeswoman for Speak Up for Women, nonpartisan organization to protect and advance the sex-based rights of women and girls in New Zealand. And Suzanne, great to have you back. Hope you're well.
Thanks, Paul. It's lovely to be back. Thanks for having me.
Okay, we've talked about this already a bit, but I'm keen to hear what you have to say about this messaging. What do you take from what they've been saying?
Well, we think the messaging is weak. It's confusing. It's a hollow kind of message. It's sort of starting to talk about the fact that these puberty blockers may not be sort of all cracked up to be, and that, you know, maybe the CAS report is right, but at the same time, let's just do what we've always done, and, you know, let's maybe just start using the word caution. You know, for the people who are prescribing them, you know, which is pretty hollow because the people that have prescribed them presumably have already decided that they know better and that, you know, they're doctors. So caution would surely be something that they would already sort of have on their list, given that the drugs are off label, you know, they're not designed for this purpose. There's no proof that they're safe or reversible. There's no evidence that they have any actual benefits, and there are no clinical trials. So, you know, you would think that's always been true, that we don't need a Ministry of Health announcement to know all of those things. So really it's business as usual. The people that have been comfortable prescribing them are surely just going to continue to be comfortable prescribing them. So
why would they do this? Because I've said before on this program recently, and others have agreed, that this surely is like, stop now, today, yesterday, stop.
Yes, I agree. I think that they're scared. I think that they have people in their ear saying, you can't stop this. This is, you know, life-saving treatment. You must continue it. I think they're terrified. They're terrified to actually do anything.
Yeah, but when you say, Suzanne, okay. Sorry to jump in, when you say, yeah, okay, prove it.
Prove that puberty blockers work.
Yeah, prove it.
Well, exactly. I mean, I think there are no clinical trials. Probably the biggest clinical trial or non-clinical trial really in relation to puberty blockers is the decades and decades when we haven't had them. You know, if you talk to people our age and younger, the number of people who say if there had been puberty blockers when I was a child going, you know, suffering from gender dysphoria, I would have been put on puberty blockers, but I wasn't and I was fine. So, you know, that's a very, very common story, particularly among tomboys. I was a super tomboy. I wanted to be a boy. I was called Jonathan. I forced my family to call me Jonathan. And, you know, and I loved being mistaken for a boy. And if someone had said to me or my parents, you know, you can take these safe and reversible drugs and you know, you don't have to be a girl anymore, you can be a boy. It's very, I've got no idea what would have happened. And I know so many women who had exactly the same experience. So we in some ways are the evidence, because none of us went on puberty blockers and none of us are trans. So, we essentially went through puberty, and puberty is a very, very good, fix for gender dysphoria. You literally grow out of the feelings.
Yeah.
So we do know that. So we can say there are no clinical trials, but there are placebo trials. There are trials of people not taking puberty blockers, and that's exactly what happened. That happened, you know, up until the last 10 years. That was what was happening, and it was okay.
I just can't believe how you could sleep at night knowing that there could be a disaster in the making that you're enabling and be okay with that and be relaxed about that. I just don't get it. There's some blind spot. There's some mental issue there.
Yeah, I know. And since I've been kind of learning about these issues the last 4 years or 4 or 5 years, I've always sort of said, surely these people that are prescribing them at some point will, even if they're just for selfish reasons, even if they're just thinking about covering their own asses, they're going to say, oh, no, we've got to stop this. You know, even if they don't care about the kids, even if it's just like their own, for their own medical professional status,
yeah,
that they would stop. I mean, it's a scandal. It's going to be a medical scandal. It's so obvious. And the longer it goes on, the worse it gets. And the more information that's coming out about the fact that these are not safe and reversible and that we should be exercising caution, the worse it is for these people. Because there's, you know, there's now evidence. They can't say they didn't know.
Well, you know, it's quite possible that they'll be facing some kind of thing in the future.
Well, yes, but, you know, you can't sue people here. So how much, what will they be facing? Will they be facing a sort of weak medical?
Well, they could be facing a very angry father who wants to smash them to pieces.
Yeah, they possibly will be. Yeah. But at the moment, they have angry fathers begging them to prescribe puberty blockers.
Yeah, so, well, they'll wake up.
Yeah. So, no, so we just think it was a kind of, you know, the decision or the announcement has been long overdue from the ministry. And this is like, I'm not quite sure who they thought it was going to silence or satisfy.
Well, it sounds like it's the start of a walk back. But if you want to walk something back, you need to do it now. I mean, this is me talking, like it has to end yesterday. That's
it does.
The
they need something more concrete, more certain. I think there's a swing for these things to maybe reduce in use. And maybe they're thinking, oh, we can keep everyone happy. We can keep the parents that we know personally, or the nieces and nephews, or the, you know, children who are being transitioned. We can kind of keep them happy by not actually doing anything, while at the same time it's a fad that might be kind of just naturally subsiding, but that will take a long time.
And, yeah, but the, these people, Suzanne.
No, don't get me wrong. That's not a good thing. It's just
I'm not getting
subsiding,
it wrong.
But we need more than that. We don't need it to just. We can't just rely on a fad subsiding. We need the Ministry of Health to actually say no. We cannot prescribe.
But then you'd have to kind of go to the next thing, and possibly admit that everything you've thought about fluid genders was completely bloody wrong.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, the minute you start saying, well, actually, you can't change sex, then the need or desire for puberty blockers sort of reduces anyway, because it's like, well, you know, what? If you're trying to change sex, if you believe you can change sex, then you look for the things that help you to do that. So puberty blockers is one of them, obviously. If you believe that, I obviously don't believe that. Where if you take that out of the mix, you say, well, you can't change sex, so why do we even look for clinical solutions to a problem that we can't solve? So, you know, it's all of that's going to get walked back. It just has to.
It's hard to admit that you've been in a cult.
Yes, it is a cult. It runs like a cult. It's mantras, you know, trans woman, a woman. It relies on that cult mentality of not questioning the statement and just repeat after me.
And, of course, the aggression shown to anyone who's got a different view. The other thing that I want to get you to comment on is the reinforcement of affirmation as a select group now of, doctors, to only be consulting in this area. There seems to be an emphasis on affirmation, which is, you know, a bit rich, because conversion therapy's banned. That is conversion therapy right there. So they don't even see that. So it's more in the hands of the monsters than ever.
Well, exactly. It's pushing it into the hands of the monsters. It'll be sort of like, well, there are these people that deal with this side of things, and those are the people who have already shown that they're not going to exercise caution because they've had a chance to. And they haven't. They've already basically put their hand up and said, you know, if you want your puberty blockers, you know, I'm your man kind of thing. So, yes, it's just going to push people to those people, and they were, you know, parents and children to those practitioners. And at the same time, it's kind of giving, I guess, GPs who aren't comfortable with it, they're going to have to do something, you know, quite substantial to stop it, because it's now tempting just to say, well, that's not my area. You need to go to one of these people who are the clinical specialists in puberty blockers, in inverted commas, you know.
So, and they're not clinical specialists, are they? Because there's no evidence to support anything they're doing. So they're just, they're like shamans or witch doctors is what they are.
Well, they are, because they're clinical specialists in a drug that is being used off-label with no evidence that it actually does anything, and also no evidence that it doesn't do any harm. So, yeah, they are, in some ways, they're going to be the scapegoats, aren't they? You're going to have this sort of small group of practitioners who everyone's going to point to and say, well, you were the ones who chose to exercise caution in such a way that you really just went on doing exactly what you've always been doing.
Just can't believe they let it go on. Boy, some people just don't see it, do they? The wood from the trees.
They don't have the balls, basically. Yeah. They're in the Wellington, you know, the famous Wellington bubble, where they're getting it from so many people saying you can't cancel puberty blockers. Children will die.
Yeah, they probably will, but not of what they're saying.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, all right. They've had their chance, and let's see what happens. Let's see what they do next.
Oh, well, they certainly put themselves up for it. Mm. Something else I wanted to ask you about too, and that's petition. What's that about?
Well, we launched Speak Up for Women launched a petition just this morning. It's on the Parliament website, so it's through their own petition process. And the wording for the petition is quite simple. And it's that the House of Representatives defines that sex in the Human Rights Act 1993 and any other legislation has the biological meaning. So we originally tried to get it to say the ordinary biological meaning, but they didn't like that, so we had to take out the word ordinary. But it's a very straightforward petition, and it's basically for anybody who knows what sex means. To find it, you can go to the Parliament Petitions website, and they're all sort of listed there, or you can go to our website, which is speakupforwomen.nz/petition, and you'll find it there with a wee bit more information. But please sign it, share it, let's get it out there. We're going to do a campaign all summer. Mm. The petition closes for signatures at the end of February. And we want to get thousands.
Yeah, well, you've got to. Why was the word ordinary not acceptable?
I don't know. They didn't get back to us about why. They just changed the wording and said, is this acceptable? I think they possibly just saw it as a bit, is not necessary. It was some wording that we sort of took from Sex Matters in the UK. They had used it in their Qualities Act requests for the meaning of sex to be clarified. So we sort of copied it from there, but it reads fine without the word ordinary.
Yeah, but ordinary is an appropriate word if you want to characterise its cultural position.
It is. It's not inappropriate, I agree. It's possibly, I guess, in some ways you could say not having it just means that we're taking the word biological to mean only one thing, which is a positive in itself. It's saying, well, there's no other meaning for biological other than, you know, the standard meaning. So the word ordinary is sort of, it's not required.
Yeah. I just want things to be ordinary.
to be ordinary.
yeah, please bring it back. So do you think, how do you think this will go? Because there's no way that this can be argued against on factually at all, is there?
I agree. But, you know, but with a lot of these things, it's awareness. And this is a really good way to make people aware, because a petition is a simple kind of, it can be pushed out by everybody who agrees with that concept, whether or not they agree with everything that Speak Up for Women stands for. it's kind of just making a very simple statement, and we want to just get as wide a reach as possible. And then obviously, it's an awareness campaign, and petitions are great for that.
Yep.
So that's kind of how we're treating it. And we'll see, because there are other things going through Parliament to do with the meaning of sex in the Human Rights Act. You know, the Law Commission consultation recently is examining some of those concepts, and, you know, potentially the Human Rights Amendment Act Amendment Bill as well. So it might get caught up in that, but it certainly can't hurt to have it put out there that some people won't even be aware that the meaning of sex is up for debate, you know.
You wouldn't normally, would you?
Yeah.
The meaning is not defined in that way at the moment specifically, is it?
In the Human Rights Act, sex just says, you know, it's one of the grounds for discrimination, or the, you know, the protected characteristics, and it just says sex, including pregnancy and childbirth, and that's the only kind of meaning, the only wording that has. Yeah. So the confusion is obviously around it. Some people saying that it includes gender as well and gender identity. So we want it clearly defined that sex doesn't include those things.
Do you get the feeling that we've reached peak madness in this now, and we're kind of heading down the other side of the mountain?
I'd like to think that, but, you know, every day there seems to be a slightly more mad person, doesn't there? So I like your confidence, though. I like your optimism.
Well, you know, you got to say it to make it hopefully bring it into some sort of reality. But
it does seem now that
the awareness is up. The Trump thing has telegraphed certain, you know, positions around the world, let's say, and maybe we're sort of starting to catch up with that here. I'm hoping.
I think so. There's definitely a shift. I think at the moment the kind of opponents are still just pushing the line that everyone who, you know, in particular for Trump, everyone who's voted for him is either mad or stupid, you know, and that, which is a naive and silly approach to take. I mean, it may well be that a lot of the people that voted for Trump are mad or stupid, but they're not all, clearly. And, you know, it's sort of looking at why are people voting that way? There needs to be some self-awareness of the Democrats to say, well, maybe it's something we're doing, you know. And I think until they start doing that, not a lot will really change. They need to look at it and say, well, actually, there are some issues these are the issues that people voted on or voted against.
Yeah. You know? So more than half of Americans are mad, is the deduction, if you were to think of all Trump voters. Don't want to get hung up on Trump, but it's a great demonstration. If you're saying that they're all mad, you're saying that a good majority of the United States population is in fact mad.
Well, yeah, you're just writing people off on that basis, and not really looking at why. You know, why it's a waste of time, and it's not going to actually help you figure out. You know, it's assuming you're a Democrat that wants. Not you personally, but if one was a Democrat and you wanted the vote to turn around, just simply saying, well, the people who didn't vote for us are mad and stupid, it's not going to make them vote for you next time, is it?
No, it's not. Yeah. All right, always good to have you on, Suzanne. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.